powerful reading of this word that by Luke written for us, so that we would be a part of this amazing time that happened shortly after Jesus ascended into heaven. I've been reading a lot of the words of a man of God named John Chrysostom. He lived in the 300s, so he was also very, very close to the time that the Lord Jesus walked this earth. 300 years, 400 years in that time. And he was one of the fathers of the faith. He was a very strong Christian, and he expounded on the scriptures. You can read his words. It's amazing that we can read those words today and benefit from them. I benefited from his words so much. I was humbled by them, really. But the idea of reading the words of someone who lived so close to the time of Christ and so near to those who lived in the time of making disciples, the first disciples in the first church. It makes a big impact on us when we see those things. We visit historical places and we think, oh, at one time we see the ruins of the Romans. We see the ruins of all these different peoples throughout the earth. That they lived at that time, and we see them and we think, wow, they were really alive. They really had a life, and they built these things and they did all these things. And that is what we see in our Bibles, that there was a God that was active then through his son Jesus Christ who walked this earth. We read about it. And in the first book of Acts, when you read the first chapter of Acts, and you don't go right to the second chapter and you read through the first, then you see that Jesus Christ is preparing us for what comes in the second chapter of Acts. We read in the first chapter, in the first verses there, it says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." And so we read in those first verses about the Holy Spirit there. After he had given the commands through the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was working through Christ. This is something that we need to realize. The Holy Spirit didn't just come at Pentecost. We're going to talk about Pentecost in a moment, but it wasn't the first introduction to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning of creation. And the Holy Spirit came down and lit upon Jesus Christ at his baptism. And he was preaching and giving commands to his disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we hear Jesus commanding them to go everywhere, and it says later on here, "While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit." Right? To hold the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So he was introducing this to them. All these things that he was talking about and what they were going to do there from that perspective. And he goes on in the later verses in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So you see, Jesus was at one with his disciples. He lived there with them. He sent them out as his disciples to preach the gospel, to heal people. He was there with them. But he sent them out through the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. And so when he was leaving them at that time, he desired for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that they would continue on earth to be his witnesses. And that is what we are today. And so when we hear this command, everyone, let us be careful and be very attentive to the fact that we are going in the power of the Holy Spirit through the commands that were filled into Jesus, coming out of Jesus in his words, that we would be his witnesses and bring the gospel to all of the nations. Take a moment. Take that in for a moment. Just take that in. It's not just the words of Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Spirit preached through the Son of God to us and instilling us with that power that we would go out and be his witnesses. It takes away all of our fears. It takes away all of our misgivings. It takes away all of our shyness. It produces in us a purpose in life that is like no other because it comes from God. And so that is the introduction that we have, that Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit to come upon his disciples. And now we know when we go into chapter 2 that there is some time. Jesus was, he ascended into heaven. And they were left there to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Chrysostom was very interesting. He was thinking about the question, why not just give it to them then? Why not just give them the Holy Spirit then? Why was there a pause? Why was there a time in between? And he said, well, it's because of the fact that we as people need to learn faith and that we need to long for God in our lives. We don't have things handed to us like that. We don't grow like that. We're too sinful. And so God in all of his wisdom is instilling in us humility and full dependence upon him and waiting in those times. Are you waiting for something today? Are you waiting for the power of God, the Holy Spirit to come and to work something in your life? Be patient. Come before God and long for him in prayer and fasting, bowing down before him for those things. We use those times that God gives to us to wait upon that, to gather together. And I'm sure that the disciples, all the disciples came together. There's another reason. There was a need for them to have a replacement for Judas. Right? Judas had hung himself after betraying Christ. He couldn't live with himself. And so there was a time also for them to restore the 12 to their full number. And they had Matthias through the prayers that they lifted up. Matthias was the person who was going to be the apostle to make them fully 12. There was also another reason, and we get to that now as we turn to the reading for today. It's the day of Pentecost had arrived, and the day of Pentecost was a feast that was associated with harvest and with fruitfulness for the people of God. And so they were a big gathering of all these different people coming to Jerusalem. And the disciples were told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem. And it was for that reason also. Because there was going to be, the Lord was preparing a time for them. They didn't know what was going to happen. But he was saying, go to, remain in Jerusalem. Don't leave there. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It will come in power upon you. And they weren't told how. But they were to wait there. And so all these people came from all these nations to have the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is a Greek word that really stands for 50 days, and it's 50 days after Passover. And so for them, that is the reason that they gathered there at that time. But Pentecost is really not so much connected with the Holy Spirit in this sense, but it is known now as Pentecost. It is known as the coming of the Holy Spirit because of the great thing that God did on that day. And so God takes these feasts and these moments and he uses them as opportunities to teach us these lessons like faith and also fruitfulness and harvest and the things that he's preparing for us. He brings us together in his perfect plan so that we see the fulfillment of his word in this way. And so these people came when the day of Pentecost arrived. They were all together in one place. Imagine, everyone, that you are told by God to wait for something to come, and it comes. Imagine how it felt for all those people who are praying for the Messiah to come into the world, and then he comes. Amen? Jesus came, as he was promised, into the world. The Holy Spirit is coming into this place, as it was promised. The people didn't have to wait anymore. It came. The Holy Spirit came. Right? They were all gathered in one place. The preparations were in place for this. And we're talking about the disciples being there in one place. And so the Holy Spirit is falling on them. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Take this in. Take this in, brothers and sisters. Take this there. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. He has ascended into heaven, told you that the coming of the Holy Spirit would be there. Just wait in Jerusalem. It's going to come. And they're all gathered together, and it comes. A mighty rushing wind, right? This sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it fills the entire house where they were filling. I mean, it filled them. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And so we see this fire, right? This amazing thing. Divided tongues as of fire, like fire, not fire, but as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. What comes into my mind is the burning bush in the Old Testament of this fire that doesn't consume the bush, but it's there and appearing to Moses in this powerful way. Amazing. Divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, anointing them. We were singing about anointing of the Holy Spirit, identifying them as God's chosen apostles who are going to go in power into the world. Power and cleansing in these words as well, in this fire that comes down. And we cannot underestimate this. We cannot underestimate the power that is being displayed here upon these apostles. And it's just as Jesus said it would be. The Holy Spirit comes, just as he said. Think about the contrast also here between the Holy Spirit coming and these divided tongues of flame and this rushing wind and Jesus Christ when he was baptized. What happened? How did the Holy Spirit come? The heavens open, and what happens? A dove, just like a dove, comes in this gentleness. God comes upon his beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. He comes upon his Son in this manner because his Son was without sin. He's not in need of purifying fire. He comes down in the gentleness, which is our God, upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our King. But in this case, it is fire that is the Holy Spirit coming down, equipping them with this power from heaven. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We were talking today to the children about the tongues. And Paul speaking to the Corinthians about tongues and speaking in different languages. But if it doesn't have love, it has no meaning. But God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit in love so that we would be his loving disciples. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Take that in a moment. Filled with it. That is what we need today. That is lacking in our world today. For people to desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To desire to come to Jesus Christ and to lay their lives down and say, I am yours. Come, fill me, Holy Spirit. Equip me for this world so that I can be your witness. Began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were overwhelmed with this. It was straight from heaven, straight from the heaven where the Father and the Son were. Imagine the Father and the Son, the joy of seeing them being filled with the Holy Spirit, of knowing that the disciples would now be equipped with the things that they need to represent Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus Christ was with them and he never left them. He was desiring these things for them. They were reconnected to the one that they followed, the master who they followed this here on earth, and they were reunited through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes into them, and Paul talks about this in Romans 8, about how he makes that connection for us so that it speaks to God in our hearts to him for us. We don't even have to utter any words. The Holy Spirit speaks for us and makes that connection. No way they could have ever imagined what the Holy Spirit coming, what the coming of the Holy Spirit would be like. The comforter, the encourager. They say it's Jesus taught them he's going to be coming to you, the comforter, the encourager. But the comforter and the encourager takes on a much bigger kind of an aspect here of power that is filling them with the things that they need to approach people with, to fight against the sin that is in the world, that permeates this world. And Satan on this day of Pentecost is shaking in his boots because he knows that the power of God is at work in these people, and he is going to use them to bring the gospel to all people. He unifies them, all in one place, unifies them. Paul speaks in Ephesians 4:3, saying, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. We are one here in Grace Church, unified through the Holy Spirit. So what were they uttering in other tongues? Luke holds off. He dramatically makes us wait, just like the disciples had to wait. He makes us wait to see what that was, and he introduces this new scene. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Imagine that. And they asked themselves, they're amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? From the region of Galilee where Jesus lived and did most of his ministry. These Galileans, these people that were followers of him. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And he goes, they start to list all of the nations that are present there. Right? Did you hear your own nation in this calling out of these different places? Americans and Chinese and Taiwanese and Indonesians and all these different people from all the world. And they're hearing all these things that are going to be coming in. And they hear, what do they hear? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Amen? The mighty works of God. It's not just gibberish or some kind of a thing that they're hearing here from these disciples. It has a point to it. It is centered around the mighty works of God, what God is doing. And when I think of that, I think of salvation. We don't know what they were saying exactly, but they were talking about the mighty works of God, and so I think of the mighty work of God on the cross. And the power of Jesus Christ. And the things that he did in there, it's for me. And those are the works that we are called to proclaim in this world. The mighty works of God. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does it mean that we're hearing them talking in languages that we speak, and they're speaking in some way to convey all of the languages that are represented there? And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But there were others who were mocking, and they said, they're just filled with new wine. And doesn't that sound familiar? Shouldn't that get our attention, everyone? That when someone proclaims Christ, when someone proclaims the gospel, when someone proclaims what God has done in their life, there are people who say, there's a scientific reason for that. Oh, we can just explain that away. They're just drunk. They don't want to receive God. They don't want to recognize the mighty works of God. They don't want to bow down before God, the mighty God who has mighty works. Brothers and sisters, I have to admit there are times in my life when I belong to those people who try to deny the power of God going on in the world, that I'm ashamed of it. But by the grace of God, Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins and gave me new life. Do you know somebody, or have you yourself denied what God is doing among people here on earth? And the fact that Jesus Christ has changed people like Paul from someone who hated and bullied Christians into someone who proclaimed the glory of Jesus Christ, filled with love. What changes a person like that? Alcohol? What excuses do we have for the working of God? What excuses do we have? I can remember one time with my mother when she was overfilled with joy at the things that we were talking about and the things that were going on, and there were things going on around us, and I had harbored a bad feeling in my heart towards my mother. And I remember that day that I was I was pressing down the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit so that I would not go to her and embrace her and say praise God with her. Follows me around to this day. When the Spirit of God is at work, put away all the thoughts that we have of anything but Jesus. Love one another. Love your parents, love your sister, your brothers, your grandparents, all people. There is a God who desires to transform us completely, to take all of the hate out, all the bitterness and the wounds out, all of our embarrassment of people that we are close to, so that we don't even want to be seen with them. We don't even want to talk to them if they call. We don't want to call them to talk with them because we have this lack of letting God fill us with the Holy Spirit to take it away. God says, let me in. You will thrive. You will abound. You will be in abundant love. You will have the abundance of the Spirit. There won't be any hatred. There won't be any desire for anything else except to say, I love people. I love my mother. I love my father. I love my sister, my brother. I love everyone because Jesus loves me. And that's enough. So let the Holy Spirit change you. Peter, standing with the 11, this great man of God who was humbled by his sin against Jesus and denying him. Talk about not letting the Holy Spirit move you. A man who denies Jesus 3 times after promising that he would never do so. Making a big boast and that kind of a thing. This same Peter who was reunited with Christ and that he said, Lord, I love you 3 times and was sent out as his disciple, stands up and here he is in this moment. And he is the first one, after the Holy Spirit comes down in power, to do exactly what the purpose of the Holy Spirit came to do, to fill him with the words of God and to go to people who are mocking Jesus and bring clarity into their lives and direction through Christ so that they would be saved and so that they would be freed from their sin, free from their hatred toward Christianity, free from their hatred towards anyone, and that they would be united with their Savior, the Messiah, who they had desired to come and rejected. Standing among them with the 11 lifts up his voice and he addressed, we need people to lift up their voices. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day, but this was what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And so Peter does not begin with the Messiah here. This is one of the things that Chrysostom points out in his writing. He does not begin with the Messiah, and it is not to slight Jesus Christ, because this scripture here is really filled with that. But what he is doing is that he is coming in a way that the people he is speaking to can connect with as Jewish people. He brings them the law. He brings them the word of God. He brings them the prophets. He brings the Old Testament. He brings that which they are familiar with. And he approaches them with words that they will take seriously that way. They were very, very serious, devout people that were standing there. And he knew that. And the Holy Spirit led him to this section of scripture in Joel. And in the book of Joel, Joel was a prophet. He said these words, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen? That is it. He's connecting this old scripture, this old Testament scripture, to the new now, found in what the Holy Spirit is doing among them. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour on my spirit and they shall prophesy. Everyone, no one excluded, servants, slaves, they all included, women looked down upon in society. Men used to pray to God and say, thank God I'm not born a woman. Now this man of God who belonged to those people who thought and prayed those things is saying, I am going to pour out my spirit upon everyone, women, men, daughters, sons, everyone, and even on my male servants. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this ends the part one of his preaching and his proclaiming through the Holy Spirit to these people who were standing there and gathered from all these different nations. And so what we see, everyone, here in reference to this is that he was bringing the gospel to these people and telling them that they were going to be prophesying. All people. And something new is coming now. And it's all through the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. This is also something for the people there to take in, that this prophet is saying, this is what happened. It's not wine. It's not that they're drunk. It is the truth that this prophecy came true today in all of your midst. Hallelujah. There it is. You don't have to wait anymore. And then from there, he goes into explaining about Jesus Christ and how they were responsible for the death of the Savior, the Messiah, who was promised by the prophets, who had come, and that they had killed him on the cross. But by the grace of God, he came to free them from sin and to give them new life. And he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he's coming again. And that is what this is talking about in this section of scripture. What he is doing is he is appealing to the people then, these devout Jews, to be able to approach the subject, the very difficult subject of judgment. And in this scripture here, we need to see, yes, there is going to be this outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop and say, okay, and then the people are going to be filled with the Spirit and be happy, speak in tongues and dance around, and that's it. No, he goes to the fact that there is a judgment coming. And that is something that they could relate to very well. They understood the law. They understood the prophets. That they were coming and saying, you need to repent of your sins. That was why God sent the prophets to tell the people that he had had enough. And they were warned through the prophets that they needed to repent and come to God. And that is one of the other things that Chrysostom points out. That we cannot be shy of talking about the judgment that is coming. And he mentions this part here where it says that the day of the Lord is coming. And that means something to the people there as well. When they know about Daniel and they know about the writings of Daniel in the Old Testament also that speak of that day. And there's other parts in the scripture as well, but they are listening to this and it is meaning something to them. And so he is preparing them with the scripture and the prophecies that they know before he introduces Jesus Christ and their need of him. And what happens after that? They say, what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. Follow Jesus. And so 3,000 of them did. And then they went out, filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that they were baptized. Right? Repent and be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and go out as God's messengers into the world, and that is what they did. And you'll see the wonderful, powerful thing that God does here in bringing them together from all nations in fulfillment of what Jesus had told them before that In the first chapter of Acts, we read, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the world. Take a look at the list of the names that are there. Phrygia, Rome, everywhere, Asia. Add it to the list. Add our lives to the list. Everywhere we'll hear about Jesus Christ through witnesses, and that is what you and I are here for. To do, and that is why we have the Holy Spirit in us. That is one of the reasons, but it's the most evident one here today, that we are empowered through the Holy Spirit to give witness of Jesus Christ. So what should we do with this knowledge? We begin to pray solemnly and fasting and praying for God to come into our lives, to change us from hearts that are protective of our own lives, and to go out to do what we are called to. That is what we have. That is our purpose. And God gives us gifts from the Holy Spirit. Paul taught all of the churches those kind of gifts. We have gifts all around us. And we use those for that purpose. But it begins here by knowing that the Holy Spirit comes down in power. Right? We repent of our sins. We say, Lord, I need you in my life. I want to believe in Jesus Christ. I do believe in Jesus Christ. I follow him. I'm going to let myself be baptized, and when I come out of that water, I am ready to spread the gospel. I'm not ready to get out of the water and say, look at me, how good I am. No, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Look at what Jesus has done. Look at what Jesus has done in my life. He has freed me from my sin and has made me whole. He has given me life eternal. He has given me a joy to be filled with that I never could have had should I have stayed in my sin and done the things that God, if I didn't do the things that God told me to do. Think about it. Take a moment right now. Think about it. What is God saying to you? He's given you a name. What is he saying to you? Never mind anybody else in this church. There's times when we think of everybody else, right? We want to help everybody else, and we're there to put people first, but not in this moment. This is a moment where we each look at our hearts. This is a moment when we say, who am I? What is my name? And who am I in the face of God? Who am I on this earth? What am I here for? How is my life? Have I been rejecting the Holy Spirit? Have I been rejecting the call of God, who desires nothing more than to come into our lives and to save us? Who are you? What is your name? Speak to the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek him. Jesus is waiting at the door. We see the power of God and the way that he works in this world through his scripture. We see that. Do you know Christ personally? You busy yourself with so many things so that you don't have to think about that. Now is the moment to do it. God loves you. There's a purpose for your life. He knows young people have a lot of things that they're going through as they're growing up, and they're going through these things and they're thinking, who am I? What am I about? Why do I have to always do what I'm told? Why can't I just do what I want? That pretty much describes the whole world these days. But when we come into the kingdom of God, we see that God knows best. He knows best for us. And he loves us. And so he desires for us to come to him. Put our arms down that are used to fighting. And to let the Holy Spirit, the rushing wind, the flame that's purifying, the instilling power from on high, from heaven, into our lives. Then you will know what life is for. We're going to have a baptism today. People are going to come into this church, this sanctuary today. Isn't that great? Isn't that a momentous time we've been waiting for? We've been waiting for, we've been thinking about it, we've been praying about it, we've been talking about it, and today we have people coming here. And for what reason? To witness two lives that have repented and are going to be baptized. And they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And they're going to come out of that water, new creations. That is exciting. What about you? What is holding you back today? Could it possibly be? There's nothing greater. Extend your hand up to Christ and say, come, take my hand, Lord, I need you. Come, forgive me of my sins. Let me begin to live for you. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. And I want to bring your love and your grace into this world that I'm in. My name is, and I am yours. Hallelujah. Let us sing the responsive song together.
With your warm embrace.
Holy Spirit, come and heal our lives. Holy Spirit, come and heal this place. We desire you. We welcome you. We thank you. We take away our resistance and welcome you into our lives because we know who you are, how lost we are without you. Come and heal us where we need to be healed. Heal our land, this nation that you have placed us in and brought us together to live in, with people of different nations coming to this land to seek dreams to be fulfilled, when we know that the only dream that we could ever have fulfilled with meaning in it is from God above. And so we turn all of our dreams over to you, so that the dreams that we have is that every human being that lives here on this earth will know Jesus Christ and the compassion of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives for transformation, so that people put down all of their weapons and they rejoice in the God of creation, who has given us life and has told us, thou shalt not kill. Oh God, we need that devoutness of those Jewish people there that day, who hear the prophecies, who hear the commandments through the Holy Spirit that come from our Lord Jesus, and that we obey. That we do not continue to live on in our lives as stubborn people that you have made, but that we are willing disciples who jump at the word that you bring to us to serve you. So we pray, Father, for healing of sickness that is physical, that is in the mind, that is in the hearts of mankind, that we will embrace our God. And we pray as the body of Christ that we will never forget that you hold us to that word, that we need to love one another, that we need to think for other people first and be willing to die for them even, all for the sake of the cross. We pray, Father, for families to be healed. We pray, Father, for working places to be healed. We pray, Father, for hospitals to be filled with healing. We pray, Father, for this world to turn to Christ and be healed. That our sins would be healed. That our lives be given new life. So I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today who has been resisting the call to come to Christ, that they would give up that fight and come to him today. That they would be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit to serve this world that they live in, to serve the Master, to give of their best to him. We thank you for our church, and we pray for protection, Lord, on all that we do and say today. And now, Lord, we pray for your anointing on the testimony of your disciple. May we be blessed and invigorated with the Spirit to go out and to do the same. We pray in Jesus' name.